Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Between now and 2013, the Earth will experience horrific cataclysms and at an ever-increasing pace. They will be the result of a large object, generically referred to as Planet X, and it will soon pass through the core of our solar system. This object was first observed in 1983 by NASA's Infrared Astronomical Satellite, more commonly known as IRAS, and was reported in the September 10, 1984 edition of U.S. News and World Report. Many times the size of Earth, it is very large and dark and dusty, and will not be visible to the naked eye for a few years. When it does, it will appear in the sky like a smaller second sun before it leaves the core of our system. While man-made pollution does aggravate global warming, the inconvenient omission is really dealing with the interaction between the Sun and Planet X. You see, it is the Sun that is the principal engine of global warming. There are simply not enough resources to save everyone. In fact, most will be left to fend for themselves because our governments will have a higher agenda. That being, to ensure the survival of our species. Industrialized governments all across the globe are working feverishly to launch a vast fleet of solar observatories into space. Many of these satellites are already operational, and they will help our governments to sound the alarm in time for us to seek shelter from the deadly radiation of violent solar storms. Eventually, the time will come when those chosen to survive the coming cataclysm by our governments are spirited away into vast networks of subsea and subterranean survival arcs. So who will they be? There are the obvious choices, such as the military and those with political connections. Their primary role will be to help our government ensure its own continuity. A second goal, and equally urgent, will be the survival of our species. That need demands special survival profiles. Obvious survival profiles will be those of physicians and caregivers. To help us rebuild our world after Planet X passes, we'll need a next generation of intelligent, educated professionals and scientists of healthy breeding age. Most of these will not know they've been chosen until they are taken away from their loved ones. There will not be enough room nor resources to keep both them and their parents and grandparents alive. As painful as the separations will be, those who watch their loved ones being taken away will feel a genuine gladness in their hearts. Meanwhile, those chosen will come to feel the weighty burden of a new and profound responsibility. The brave ones will accept it. For those left to fend for ourselves, it will be panic as usual. We'll learn that rigid thinkers become fragile survivors. America's military might will be recalled from overseas posts and retasked to the business of maintaining martial law throughout the nation. There will be no guarantees for those chosen by their governments to survive, as well as for those left to fend for themselves. But there will be those who are prepared. They will plan their routes to safe havens long before the early signs of crisis become undeniable. Then, when the time comes, they will be prepared, and they will know how to act calmly and quickly. As they make their way to safety, they will join with like-minded others and form small survival groups, where service to others is the rule and not the exception. Eventually, Planet X will leave us in peace once again, and the steadfast few who have survived through a philosophy of service to others shall arise from the ruins. They will embrace this new future with humility, compassion, tolerance, and above all, love.
But suddenly the sixth seal is opened. It will affect every land area on Earth. No exception. It's called the Great Earthquake. Great. How great will it be? What will cause this earthquake? When will it happen? What about those that are going to be protected from these things? Will it affect them? This will cause land shifts. The Earth rides on platelets. Yes, there will be activity in the land masses of this Earth. Volcanic activity. Islands that have been unparalleled since the days of Peleg when the Earth was divided. You can turn to Genesis chapter 10 and you can read verse 25, and it says the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. The word divided is number 6385 in the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language. It means split. The earth was split, the land masses in the days of Peleg. You look at Europe and Africa. Then you move the Atlantic Ocean out of the way, and you move the continent of North and South America over, and it looks like they fit together practically. The land masses were split in the days of Peleg. It affected every person on planet Earth. Australia broke loose. Islands rose out of the water. Other land masses sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And now we see all of a sudden, before the trumpets are open, but there is a great earthquake, and this diverts the attention. What is it that caused this earthquake that diverted the attention of the national leaders of this world? So that God would then set his mark in the forehead of these people that he talked about. It says they were to be kept as in preservation from something, by implication to keep secret, as if the rest of the world didn't even know you existed, as fencing in or protecting from misappropriation. So God has absolutely determined that he's going to keep a group of people from being misappropriated in the events that are about to come. He will preserve them alive. This great earthquake, the sixth seal, will only be the beginning of what scientists call extinction level events. We absolutely know from scientific excavation that great fur-bearing mammals have been discovered. They've been discovered encased in ice. They were quick frozen. Instantly, not over a period of hundreds or thousands of years, because they could have just trotted away. But it was instant. discovered encased in ice. They were quick frozen. Instantly, not over a period of hundreds or thousands of years, because they could have just trotted away. But it was instant, with tropical vegetation still unchewed in their mouth and undigested in their stomachs. Tropical vegetation. How could this be? How could it be? I mean, if you're in the North Pole and you're quick frozen, how are you going to have vegetation from the tropics in your mouth? In Matthew chapter 24, this will begin to give a whole new meaning to these two verses, verse 21, verse 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, known or shall ever be. We've always thought that meant nuclear weapons that could kill 50 Earths. It does. We always thought it meant chemical, biological agents that could kill another 100 Earths. It does. But is there something in addition to that that is so awful that is going to come upon this earth? That except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. People like you and me, and others like us, whoever they are around the world with God's Holy Spirit, they keep the commandments. Because we are faithful and loyal in all of this, God has determined He's going to save this planet from this tribulation time. Could it be more than we've always thought? It could only happen if an outside heavenly body invaded the inner solar system and the gravitational pull of our Earth and sun were affected by it. This invasion could come from an asteroid. It could come from a comet. But are they large enough? Some have hit the Earth, caused great damage. We know there were dinosaurs. Or could it be another heavenly body that the world has not even known that existed? But it does exist, and it has come into existence. And astronomers and so on have found it. Ancient astronomers knew that such a tenth planet that only circulates in our solar system approximately every 3,600 to 3,660 years exists. They had graphs in old times. Even before the flood, the Sumerian people, population that died out with the flood. And so this planet, this tenth planet, is so large that when it comes from the outer depths of space, it comes through the Oort system, where there are comets and asteroids, and because it is five times larger than planet Earth, it drags with it certain very damaging things, asteroids, comets. But it only comes around once every 3,600 to 660 years. And in the days of Peleg, it came by and the continents were split. It says so, the word divided, they were split. We need to be accounted worthy because these events are going to be massive. No one that has lived in the last 3,600 years has experienced anything. I will give you a scenario before I'm through as to what scientists and astronomers think that it will do to the Earth based upon what it did the last time this planet came by. The controllers of the media, I'm talking about the ones who are working for world government, who hit up the money markets of the world, and the world's government leaders are very fully aware of what's about to happen. They're prepared. Keeping this story out of the major media was very important because it will, when it reaches the people's understanding, it will collapse the world's economy. People will quit working and say, well, what's the use? We're all doomed anyway. The stock markets will crash. Real estate prices will plummet and go to the bottom. You won't be able to give away anything. It'll cost the economy billions and trillions of dollars, and then it will cost millions and billions of lives on planet Earth if what these scientists and astronomers are saying is correct. In 1983, Planet X, or the 10th planet, was spotted by the infrared astronomical satellite that was put up by NASA. And then there's been a complete blackout ever since concerning this particular event. X is now so close that they can't cover it up anymore. That's why the Newsweek for December 7th, the year 2002, showed it and for the first time admitted that it was another planet.
Well, hello, folks. You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, on Orion Talk Radio Network, show number 30. Unfortunately, I wasn't prepared to do my show here. I had been preparing for like 2 to 3 hours to do it, and then right before my show started, I lost all my Internet Explorer tabs that I had open, so I decided to play these David J. Smith sound bites to help me get started here. We're live. It's Saturday night, October 16th, 2010. Thanks for tuning in. Broadcasting live from the Sonora Desert, just outside Tucson, Arizona. We're going to be coming into the break here pretty quick. We have a lot of Earth changes news to report upon. I wanted to remind folks, last Sunday night, Lucas, also known as Wayne Young, gave his a second ever public presentation on the what he calls the Great Dragon, which is just another name for Nibiru, Wormwood, Planet X, the Death Star, etc. But he gave his second ever public presentation at Brave New Books, and the title of his presentation was The Return of the Great Dragon. The event was free and started at 7 p.m. Central Time in Austin, Texas last Sunday, so I haven't looked yet if that's been posted throughout the internet, but you should be able to watch it pretty shortly here. Last night, Jesse Ventura started his second season of Conspiracy Theory that aired on True TV. The second season has begun. His show last night focused on the topic of the Plum Island animal warfare research thing. Well, we'll be back, folks. You're listening to The Light of Dan and Ryan. We'll be back. Stay tuned for some really hot news on Earth changes. Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, October 16th, 2010. Before we know it, 2011 will be upon us. This is Light of Day show number 30. I've done 29 shows now on Orion. Back to what I was saying about Jesse Ventura, he to reiterate, he has restarted his the conspiracy theory show on True TV. The second season started last night. And for any of your folks that may want to watch the first episode of the second season free, you can download that onto your iTunes media player, even though I tried and it didn't work very well for me today. Maybe my high-speed connection's not fast enough, I don't know. But you folks may want to try that. His show last night delved into the topic of the Plum Island animal warfare research laboratory that they have on that island, and it showed these creatures that have washed up on the shores on Montauk Beach, and they think it came from Plum Island. The point of the matter is, John Moore, he's been out there talking about Plum Island for the last 2 or 3 years, that they plan on relocating it over to Manhattan, Kansas. And, you know, that just makes sense. They need to get all this infrastructure away, or critical infrastructure away from the coastlines, because as Planet X gets closer, there's going to be tsunamis everywhere, and the coastlines are pretty much going to be wiped off the face of the earth. So it makes sense that they have to relocate Plum Island. Now, while I was preparing for my show here, while I was playing those David Smith sound bites, I had actually planned on playing those David Smith sound bites after my earthquake news I was going to report, but it just didn't work out that way, but I hope you folks enjoyed it anyway. Planet X is most definitely headed our way, and I do believe it's getting deeper into our inner solar system. According to my Planet X fellow research associate, Gilbert Erickson, he said that he had an observer down in Argentina that sent him a coded message that it indicated that Planet X is indeed very prominently visible now in the far infrared. But then, folks, this Argentina observer got his equipment confiscated, but Gilbert's best guess is that Wormwood, also known as Planet X, is now plainly visible with third-generation night vision goggles, the ones that also see the infrared part of the spectrum. And no, folks, NASA's not going to be forthcoming with Wormwood pictures and images until they are forced to by the amateur astronomy types. The governments will try to suppress it as long as they can, which they have been reasonably successful at doing thus far. Okay, we're going to head into the Earth changes news here. Earthquakes. First of all, last weekend I reported on this 600-foot-long crack that opened up in the earth up in Birch Creek, Michigan. I have an update on that I'd like to read right now. This was updated on October 11th by Dennis Wallachainen. I don't even know how to pronounce that last name, but anyway, a close-up shows that the crack from the Menominee County, Michigan earthquake on October 4th, well, that's actually referring to a picture, which you folks obviously can't see out there. But anyway, this article states that on October 11th, that shaking and loud noise experienced recently in Menominee County of Upper Michigan was indeed an earthquake, albeit a small one, according to a Michigan Tech researcher. So first they cover up the fact that there was an earthquake, and now they're actually admitting it. And obviously they couldn't keep the wraps on it long enough, so they had to finally come out and admit it to the public. Wayne Pennington, chair of Geological and Mining Engineering and Sciences, is stated as saying that the large crack and ridge were created most probably by a magnitude 1 or 2 earthquake. And keep in mind, folks, that this event happened on Monday, October 4th. The ridge and crack are 361 feet long, and the ridge is 4 to 5 feet high and 20 to 30 feet wide at its largest point, Mr. Pennington said after visiting the site. The crack is 2 feet wide and 4 to 5 feet deep at its largest point. Trees are tipped away from the crack at about 14 degrees on either side, showing that the surface is now tipping, having formed the ridge. That ridge, according to Mr. Pennington, is the most informative feature, not the crack. Residents report that this ridge was not there earlier, and it appeared at the same time as the crack. Quote, the most likely explanation is that the underlying limestone has faulted in a manner that has pushed rock on one side of the fault up and over the rock on the other side, a reverse or thrust fault, said Pennington. The limestone is hard and brittle, and this movement can be described as described as the small earthquake that was felt. So they go on with their cover story here, you know. Even if this is true, what they're telling us, me and John DiNardo do believe it is being caused by Planet X's inbound passage. Now I want to read something that John DiNardo sent me here because, you know, Gilbert Erickson is sort of making this simplistic that, you know, Planet X can only throw big, cause large sinkholes in that. John DiNardo had a reply to Gilbert on that. I'd like to read that right now. John DiNardo states that minor vertical crustal movements, heaving and sinking, certainly may be caused by the approach of Planet X. We do not know for sure what caused this particular land bulge, but minor land bulges can definitely be caused by surrounding comets and small planets. Remember that Planet X is engulfed in a swarm of thousands of large celestial bodies. Their collective electromagnetic and gravitational exertions on Earth can cause sinkholes, bulging, and fissuring when you consider the size of these objects and the number of those with which are much closer to Earth than Planet X itself. Now, true, there is both mutual cancellation and compounding of these forces depending upon the positions of these bodies relative to Earth. But the fact remains that these thousands of large celestial bodies exert substantial electromagnetic and gravitational forces upon Earth, and this collective force cannot be seen as causing either large deformations of Earth crust or no deformation at all. It's not like turning on a light switch whereby it is either bright or dark. These crustal size will naturally and understandably begin on a very small scale and then gradually intensify as Planet X and its entourage draws nearer to the sun. Witness the extraordinary number of broken water mains being reported. Witness the extraordinary number of methane eruptions affecting private water wells and many other occupied and unoccupied locations. Witness the amazing deviations in seabed depths. Witness the extraordinary increase in earthquake activity. The evidence is quite diverse worldwide. Remember that Earth's molten iron core is being heated up like a bowl of liquid in a microwave oven. The electromagnetic radiation permeating that bowl and heating up that liquid is a microcosmic model of what is happening and has been happening to Earth's largely molten iron core. As a consequence, mantle plumes are heat generated by the superheated core, and these mantle plumes are now pressing upward on Earth's lithosphere. In other words, its crust. Minor crustal displacement can definitely be attributed to the approach of Planet X and its entourage because the principle of graduality is the reality. Of course, there will always be internal forces which may produce crustal disturbances. What John DiNardo is stating, folks, is that it is incorrect to say that Planet X and its army of huge celestial bodies cannot cause minor crustal displacement, but only major crustal displacement. John DiNardo. There's the break. We'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
I'm
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, October 16th, 2010, show number 30. Thank you, Bill, Alec, and or Aura Light for tuning in to the Light of Day tonight. I just received your email. By the way, folks, Vortex Network News up in Sedona, Arizona, did a two-hour program on the topic of Planet X. If you want to go to their website and check that out, I've actually sort of become a role model for Bill, Alec, and Aura Light. They've actually had to change the course to the way they conduct their own show because they listen to mine and have decided that this is a topic that they do need to be covering. And I thank you, Bill and Aura, for trying to get the word out on this topic, which I believe is the most significant story that needs to be reported on at this time. Okay, back to earthquakes. There's been over 70 earthquakes in the Arkansas since the first of the month. There were three in Arkansas today. It was actually a 3.5, which was the highest one in Guy, Arkansas, at 4:43 a.m. local time there this morning. This would have been 3 miles south of Guy, and there were six quakes in Arkansas yesterday. And Oklahoma had a big one on Wednesday, the 13th. This is actually the second largest ever recorded in Oklahoma history. The USGS is reporting it as a 4.3. I think it was a 4.5, and then they demoted it to a 4.3. But the Oklahoma Geological Survey is reporting it as being a 5.1. Keep in mind, folks, whatever they're telling us is one full number value lower than what it actually is. So if the Oklahoma Geological Survey says it's a 5.1, yeah, you could bet whatever that it was actually a 6.1. Now, this quake was 6 miles east of Norman, Oklahoma, or 20 miles southeast of Oklahoma City. It was in the Lake Thunderbird area near East Post Oak Road and 84th Avenue Southeast. That's where the epicenter would have been. It happened at 9:06 a.m. Central Time with 29 seconds Wednesday morning. And this quake, folks, was felt in at least five surrounding states. It was felt in parts of Arkansas. It was felt as far away as Wichita, Kansas. It was felt in Missouri. It was felt as far away as Dallas, Texas. And as far away as Brentwood, Tennessee, which is 953 miles away. Let's see, yeah, that's one, two, three, four. Yeah, five surrounding states felt this Oklahoma quake on Wednesday. It was 3.1 miles deep, and there were two persons injured in Norman, Oklahoma. I actually have a quick soundbite I'm going to play from a local news station up there reporting on this, so I'll play that right now.
Witness News 5.
Late breaking, you probably felt it, but an earthquake has struck Oklahoma around 9 this morning, a 4.3 magnitude, the epicenter just 5 miles east of Norman near Lake Thunderbird.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a look at the map here. Now, this earthquake was 3 miles deep. You can see where that yellow circle is. That was the epicenter of this earthquake. But can we take a look at the seismograph image here? We have gotten calls from all over the region, really. Again, the U.S. Geological Survey measuring this is a 4.3, but we got calls from as far north as Lacine, Kansas, which is a little bit south of Kansas City, to as far south as Dallas, Texas, and just about every place in between. So a lot of people felt this earthquake.
From Tulsa to Stillwater, everywhere they have felt it. We were taking calls also. And also, we did get a statement from the mayor of Oklahoma City, Mick Cornett.
Yeah, he says it's obviously extremely unusual for an earthquake of this magnitude to be felt in Oklahoma City. Fortunately, we have no reports of injuries or significant damage.
And one of the places we did receive some calls from Norman, Dale Hall, earlier it was reported that it had been roped off because the building shook there.
And that's what we're looking at here on Sky 5. It's kind of that lower grayish, tannish building there in the front. And we have Eyewitness News 5's Wendell Edwards, who is on the ground there. Now, Wendell, have you been able to talk to people there on the OU campus?
Well, yes, I did talk to some OU students. We are near Dale Hall on the South Oval, just across from Gaylord Hall, where the journalism building is located. Now, students tell us they felt the earthquake just after 9 this morning. Now, Sky 5 is over the campus now, as you can see. Now, we're told the quake shook the entire campus, especially Dale Hall, where there were reports of minor damage. So I went inside, even took a picture, snapped it for you guys. It's a skylight that shattered. Now, it's not clear, though, if the earthquake caused this or not. The OU campus newspaper is reporting that it did cause this skylight to shatter, but some students are telling me that that skylight had been shattered before, but a lot of students say they never look up to pay attention. So we did take a picture of it. We're trying to get that confirmed as well. We're talking to more students too, but many of them on campus were taken out of that build, out of their buildings just for safety precautions, but now they have been allowed to go back into their classes, and school has started back to normal. So we're here on OU campus, and we'll keep you posted, guys, back to you.
Hey, Wendell, you were there. What did it feel like to you?
I was not here when it happened exactly, Matt. I can tell you that I didn't feel it when I was driving into work. I think it happened around 9:05, but certainly so many people have felt this earthquake throughout the state.
A lot of people also reported sounds of grumbling. Wendell, thank you very much. Wendell Edwards on the ground there at the OU campus in Norman. Now, we are continuing to gather information on this developing situation. Of course, more information is coming into our newsroom, so you want to be sure to stay with Eyewitness News 5. Our live wire on KOCO.com is also up and running. A lot of people telling us what happened, and that's a great resource for you to get information as well.
And before we go here, we should tell you that Oklahoma Emergency Management, they have placed calls all over the state. So far, they're reporting no damage as well. Mm-hmm. Stay with Eyewitness News 5 and KOCO.com.
Okay, folks, so there's that soundbite. That's KOCO News Station 5. And I'm not sure. Just hang on. I'm not sure. Just hang on. Hang on, folks. Okay. Yeah, I actually had my own website stream going just so I can hear what I'm playing, because the volume is not loud enough when I play that through my mixer board, so I actually listen to it off my website stream player. But anyway, so that was a pretty big quake for Oklahoma on Wednesday. Now keep in mind, folks, there is going to be suppression going on with these earthquakes as the earth changes kick into full force and effects as Planet X gets closer in. The USGS, according to Gilbert Erickson, had actually gone into suppression mode with the earthquakes down in New Zealand on September 22nd. So that's something to keep on mind. If you folks want to check out a good site here for current earthquakes going on in the central U.S., I'll give you the website. This website I'm going to give you, it shows a really long list of this swarm of earthquakes that are going on in Guy, Arkansas right now. There were, like I said, three quakes today there. One of them was a 3.5, which in actuality would be a 4.5 on the Planet X scale. The URL is folkworm, that's F as in Frank, O-L-K, worm, W-O-R-M dot Siri, C-E-R-I dot Memphis dot E-D-U. That's short for education, /recent EQs, EQS, /quakes, /quakes0.html. And you'll see the really long list of the swarm of quakes currently going on in Guy, Arkansas. Keep in mind, we also had a 3.0 in Roton, Texas last on October 9th. Yeah, that would have been last weekend when I did my show. That happened at 2:42 a.m. local time there in that time zone in Texas. Boy, there's a lot going on with earthquake news. What else do I have here? My friend JD sent me this. Emergency officials urge earthquake preparedness from September 16th of last year. ArkansasNews.com is the website. State emergency officials say the occurrence of a major disaster is not a matter of if, but when. Their message to Arkansas, be prepared. Meeting with reporters, State Emergency Management Department Director David Maxwell said the agency is gearing up for a national-level exercise in May of 2011 with other states and federal agencies based on a model of an earthquake measuring 7.7 on a Richter. We'll be back for hour two here after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned.